هقولهم من السهم للصبح يعني.
Hello, Yurik. I give you a 10-year new thank you for Hello, how are you doing, Mr. Thornton?
How are you?
Fine, thanks. I see we have Alderman here today. With a beard. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. put myself up. I couldn't attend those two. Some other tried to make it hard to do. The possibility of getting the document is a lot of it. I can just go through them and see if I saw what it is.
Okay.
Okay. So just let me know and I'll come and collect them. Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's time for us to start. Yeah, honorable members, it would appear that technology is letting us down, and as a result, we are going to go manual. Can we put this thing off then? Are you going to use it still?
Yeah. Some of the parts of the presentation are
voice over
and part over also.
But now if this thing is not working, how are they going to work?
It's just for the screen that is needed. Mr. Technician,
hey, talk to us. Talk to us. It doesn't matter.
Okay. On the presentation, we'll start with the main menu. There is a little part on the introduction and the background. Then a timeline of interactions with the portfolio committee on mining and related outcomes. And then we will have a summary of development and progress regarding operations, governance, and financials, and then the concluding comments. We were with
visualization. the overall purpose of the existence of the Macquarie and Diamond Fund Trust has always been and still is to improve the quality of life of the inhabitants in its beneficiary areas by enhancing their social, cultural, and economic well-being. To this end, the Macquarie and Diamond Fund Trust has over the past 16 years added substantial value across a spectrum of individuals, groupings, and projects, including financial assistance in the form of bursaries to thousands of tertiary learners and secondary pupils, educational infrastructure and skills development projects, charitable contributions to thousands of beneficiaries for aspects such as funeral assistance, rehabilitation, HIV treatment, old age homes, hospital care and orphanages, rendering financial assistance in terms of operational costs. Support in times of disaster, such as financial assistance to farmers during periods of drought, entrepreneurial opportunities and education in basic trades, for instance. The radical impact of the cessation of royalty payments to the Macquarie and Diamond Fund Trust is evident. The reality is simply this, that the original purpose and intent of the founder, in other words, for the trust to serve as a catalyst for need fulfillment among the previously disadvantaged rural communities of the Macquarie, would effectively be negated. Without its income stream, the trust cannot support learners and by implication, the leaders of tomorrow. The elderly and the destitute will not be able to reckon on any support from the trust, as with HIV sufferers, the disabled, the sickly, and the impoverished. In the absence of royalties, achieving its vision and living its mission would become impossible, and the trust would be relegated systematically from change agent to relic.
The next part will be about the interaction with the Portfolio Committee on Mining and Related Outcomes. The first one is oversight visit of Namakulan by the Portfolio Committee on Mining. Number two, presentation by the NDFD to the Portfolio Committee on its admin and finance from the inception of the trust to October 2010. Number three, follow-up presentation by the Diamond Fund Trust to the committee on the 8th of November 2010 on particular areas of concern. Four, report back on the NDFT board resolutions based on the three assignments issued by the committee at a meeting in Kimberley. Five, written feedback by the CEO to the committee on progress with assignments dated the 25th of February 2011. Six, written motivation by the Diamond Fund Trust to the PCM for the reinstitution of royalties submitting during April 2011. Seven, Portfolio Committee called for briefing by the Trust on developments and progress with operations, governance, and finance. Next is the summary of developments and progress regarding the operations, governance, and the finance. The first will be on the registration of H.J. Visser as a trustee and a representative of the Northern Cape provincial government. The second one is the analysis of procedures and the effectiveness, that is the investigation into the trust. And next one, introduction of cost
saving measures, trust training, and the area visitation.
Following the filing of the required documentation, Mr. Hendrik Johannes Visser was officially registered as the trustee of the Malacca Diamond Fund Trust. Reference was a certificate dated 14 February 2011 and duly assumed duties on the 1st of March. The trust sadly noted the passing of Mr. Visser during May 2011, and the master has been informed accordingly.
The next one is the analysis.
As reported to the portfolio committee in February 2011, the legal advisors of the trust, Edward Layton Sullenberg, had been requested to advise on the most method for investigating the processes and procedures in operation at the trust. ENS submitted an outline detailing three possible venues for doing the analysis on the 12th of April 2011. And a special board meeting of 15 April 2011, the Namaqualand Diamond Fund Trust passed for the analysis as per the third method proposed to be conducted and reported on by the trust professional advisors, namely LDP, ENS, and Sterling, and for an advisor to be appointed in order to table particular recommendations based on the reports thus received. The analysis as mandated has and the first report is expected at the end of August 2011.
The second one is the analysis of decision-making processes.
Analysis of the deed of trust with regard to aims of the trust, compliance with the of trust, trustee meetings, trustee duties, assumption of trustees, termination of trustee appointments, recommended amendments, trustee's code of conduct, financial statements of the trust, expenses and remuneration of trustees and employees respectively, Trust Property Control Act, Income Tax Act, legal opinions by Edward Layton Sullenberg. Analysis of decision-making processes with regard to the operational policy, the human resources policy, allocation of grants to beneficiaries, frequency of meetings, attendance of meetings, duration of meetings, implementation of decisions, consequent and related expenditure, minutes of board and committee meetings, role of the executive committee, role of subcommittee, interviews with staff to seek additional information and clarifications where required, verify assumptions, corroborate provisional findings, check and cross-reference perceptions. Remuneration analysis for a net internal and external equity of state taxes. Final stage of the analysis involves a written report comprising findings, conclusions, and recommendations. Presentation to and interaction of trustees with professional advisors about recommended changes and optional plans for implementation.
I don't want to sound rude, but we're not doing anything yet, except having topics that have been read to us that have absolutely no meaning. I thought they would have at least, under each of the headings that you're presenting, would talk to them so that it gives us a picture of what's going on. Otherwise, there's no sense in me sitting here. Or I can be patient with the rest of the members until it gets to the end of the presentation, but it says absolutely nothing what is happening now. I don't know, maybe I'm being overreactive, I don't know, but...
No, because they prepared this presentation, let's allow them to finish and then engage them on the meaning of what is it that they are intending to tell us. We were following it at the beginning where they were saying these were the interactions with the portfolio committee. She mentioned the outstanding issues arising out of our last meeting. Maybe she's still coming to that. Let's just allow, they are about to be through with the presentation. Please continue.
It needs to be noted that the Board of Trustees instituted particular cost-saving measures and regards the introduction of future measures as part of an ongoing process. The Trust is awaiting a written report from its professional advisors about recommended changes and optional plans for implementation with regard to impending cost-saving. Upon the receipt of the report, which details findings, conclusions, and recommendations, the Namakura Diamond Fund Trust would most definitely implement further cost-saving measures as and when required and upon taking appropriate advice.
The cost-saving measurements is on the cutback of the trustee expenses, reduction of operational overheads, budget revisions, sell-off of assets, and termination of vendor agreements.
Cutback on trustee expenses effected in two areas. Reduction in transport allowance from R7.20 to R5 before tax per kilometre as from the 1st of August 2011. Reduction in attendance fees from R3,334 to R1,662 per day as from the 1st of January 2012. Reduction of operational overheads by strict monitoring of telephone calls and duration, limited calls to cell phones, elimination of unnecessary printing, photocopying, etc. Special consideration of telecommunications system, which would facilitate drastic cost savings in the long run. Weekly control of budget and closure of the feedback loop. The current administration budget of R10.5 million compares well with the 2010 figure of R14.6 million. Over and above the introduction of strict budgetary control measures and preemptive variation reporting, elimination
selection of the following line item has brought about what line saving as the recent board resolution? Elimination of social development education of 110,000 rand. Savings on management fund of 73,000 rand. The recent sell-off of underutilized vehicles will effect a longer-term cost saving in terms of finance, running, and maintenance costs. The trust has commenced with the reconsideration of all standing service agreements with the rates of vendors, and in a number of instances, when feasible and practicable, negotiations are underway to facilitate cutbacks and or termination of service level agreements with selected vendors.
The next are the area visitations. After we had met with the portfolio committee, the board had a meeting and they took certain resolutions, and one of these was to visit the areas to inform them about the meetings with the portfolio committee, the tasks that they received from the portfolio committee, and then they also, one of the agenda points was that to speak with the communities on the saving measurements that they are going to introduce in the new budget year. The next slide is on the area that has been visited. Sandrif on the 13th of November, Lekkerson on the 14th of November, Concordia on the 18th, Buffelsrivier on the 7th, Kommegas on the 7th, Kubus in the northern Richtersveld on the 13th, Eksteenfontein, Steinkopf, Pella, Lelyfontein East, and Lelyfontein West. The reason why
are well aware of the serious implications brought about by the suspension of royalty payments and the fact that the usual operations of the trust as a change agent has been severely restricted. In response, all stakeholders are unanimous in their quest to lessen the dire consequences of this as far as possible, and staff as well as particular has introduced preliminary cost-saving measures. When the analysis of processes and procedures and outline highlight further areas for improvement, these would be acted upon without hesitation, thereby also affecting cost savings. It stands to reason, though, that cost savings and effectiveness can only steady the ship, one which would inevitably succumb should royalties not be reinstated. While the FD remains steadfast in its resolve to work towards this with every means at its disposal and put
You mentioned a couple of outstanding issues. You addressed, in my knowledge, one. Well, what were the other outstanding issues since we met in Schmidtrift?
The first one was the registration of Mr. H.J. Visser as a trustee. The second one was the implementation of saving measures. And the third one was the investigation into the trust finance and administration and operations. Those were the three things.
So you dealt with the issue of Mr. Visser. We're sorry that he passed on before he could assume fully his duties in the office. We heard about his passing away. Surely there might be some processes to replace him. But you also dealt with the issue extensively of cost-cutting and savings. You did not deal with the issue of the
investigation.
How far are you with that?
We dealt with the issue of the investigation. As I've mentioned, we had we seeked advice from the legal advisors and the auditor, as well as the financial advisors. And we received three options that we could make a choice from, and then we inform them what procedure we are going to follow, and I have outlined the plan that they that the board agreed on, which aspects should be investigated. And the report will be, the board will receive the report at the end, and the recommendations at the end of August, or the 31st of August.
What is this option that you have chosen? Because our understanding was that there will be a board resolution. Your letter says so, that there is a board resolution on the forensic investigation. That's what your letter says to us. Now, I don't know, what is this option that you are talking about? Yes, sir, please help out. Can you put your thing off, madam?
Thank you, Chair. Kadiri, the board has a resolution for factory forensic investigation. Die drie opsies wat ons gekry het, het gegaan oor die koste aspek. Ons het koste aspek gehad van 1.5 miljoen, 'n miljoen rand en soos meer. So die derde opsie wat ons gevat het, was 'n goedkoper opsie om koste te spaar op die ondersoek. So dat die derde opsie behels dat ons sal die voorbereidingswerk vir die forensiese ondersoek sal ons INS gebruik wat ons legal verteenwoordigers is, ons sal LDP gebruik wat ons auditeure is, en ons sal Stilling gebruik wat ons finansiële assesseurs is. Met alle woorde, ons hoef nie mense te betaal om die documents van rakke af te gaan haal of te gaan en op die tafel te sit nie. Ons betaal reeds hulle, so hulle moet vir ons die documents voorberei en die documents vir ons sorg en dit op die tafel sit. So dan gaan dit vir ons goedkoper wees, en dan sal ons sal hulle onafhanklike investigate kry wat dan die opsomming en die aanbevelings maak uit al die aspekte wat die financial statements, hoe trustees gelek is in die administration, en wat vir ons belangrik is in die outcome moet wees, hoe kan ons koste bespaar op die lang termijn. So dit is wat die optie behels, of as ons praat van optie, dit waar ons gewees.
Yes, the three options we referred to relate to costs. There was one package costed at 1.5 million, another one at 1 million, and the third option we went for was a cheaper option. And that concerns mainly the preparations of the forensic investigation. We have decided to instruct ENS, who are our were our legal advisors, and LDP were our auditors, and then the financial advisors to prepare the papers for the in preparation for the forensic investigation, which means there won't be any additional costs because these people are being paid by us anyway, so we make use of the existing services we do have. And then we will appoint an independent investigator to investigate the matters further, how the trustees were chosen and so forth. And the whole idea is to find out, the outcome should be how we could save more money. Thank you.
So in other words, you are doing forensic audit using the very same people that have been handling your affairs all along, ranging from your auditors, your internal auditors, your financial advisors, and your legal advisors.
Nee, eindelijk niet. En hulle doen nie self die forensiese onderzoek nie. Hulle moet van die voorbereiding doen. Met andere woorde, forensiese team sou gekom het en aan die voorbereiding termen van om documente uit die kluis te haal, van die rak af te haal, sal het hulle daar misschien 2 weke neem, net om die voorbereidingswerk te doen. En dan het hulle alle information wat hulle nodig het en wat hulle soek, en dan begin hulle met die forensiese onderzoek. Nou, die gedeelte sou ons kostig, sou ons dan meer gekost het. En dis hoekom ons die mense wat ons reeds betaal, wat met die documentatie het, wat die inlichting het, dis hoekom ons hulle vraag, bereid het vir ons voor en geef het aan vir die independent mense om die investigation te doen en vir ons outcome te gee. En ons betaal fisies dan net vir dit. En ons betaal nie meer nie, dit vat ook nie langer nie, in termen van om alles voor te berei en te investigate nie. So dit is die rede. Ons gebruik nie LDP en Sterling en INS om die forensiese onderzoek te doen. Gebruik hulle net om die voorbereiding te doen.
So we only use these services, LDP, Sterling and INS, to do the preparatory work, which means collecting the documents from the safe and from the shelves. And it would have been more expensive if the forensic team, the independent team, would have done that preparatory work themselves. But we felt that these preparations could be done by the people we have already, the services we do have already, which would be a cost-saving exercise. But then the assessment, the investigation itself, would be done by the independent investigators.
Honorable members, there you are. Let's engage. Honorable Sonto, Honorable Bigani, Honorable Hululu, Honorable Mare.
Chairperson, thank you very much. On the very same one, you know, sometimes we would want to be clear about these processes. The explanation we are getting is suggesting that forensic audit will take off on your terms, which practically means that you should clean up first, then allow forensic audit to take off. Do I hear you correctly when you are saying you need to prepare for the forensic audit to be effected? If that is correct, I have a question. Why cleaning first when you are going to be audited forensically? That is the first one. The second one would be Mr. Fisa is has passed on, which means that it has brought the trust back to its original problem. What have you done to alleviate the trust of that problem? Have you reverted back to the old trustee, or do you have a vacancy now? And before we talk about, because I don't want us to talk about sweetheart cost-cutting measures, can I understand, there's a rumor that is taking rounds that a transaction from the trust funds has been effected to a certain mining company. Can you tell this committee what kind of transaction was that, to which company, and why? If the rumor is found to be of quality, how does this transaction talk to your very first line of, how does it talk to your visit and mission, if it is found to be true? If it is not true, why the rumor? Because they say where there is smoke, there is fire. Yeah. The other one would be, how many legal advisors do you have? How many companies that are advising you legally? Is it, because I've seen two here, LDB and ENS. If those two companies are your legal advisors, both, how different is one legal advice to the other? And why the two, if you are busy on cost-cutting measures? What is this? Cost-cutting measures. Chairperson, let me wait there, and I will take it from the second round, because the earlier part that we want explanation on still need to be ventured into. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Migani.
Thank you, Chair. yeah. I've got a lot of questions, Chair, but I think to get to the point, and perhaps as we deliberate, we'll get clarity on some of the issues. My colleague has already indicated a question that I also would like clarity on. And but furthermore, to ask that the sound of this presentation said to me there has been a problem. You can't just jump and decide on cost-effective measures and there was no initial problem. What was that problem, number one? What are we actually working around in terms of this problem? I'd like to know also what is the round figure, the actual amount that is in this trust. And then seeing that, I would have thought there would be a breakdown of exactly what were the developments in terms of what was requested from the previous committee's work, since they were there. I think our last visit was in November. Since we were there in November, what were the developments, what improved, or what were the hurdles in the process and until now? I thought we would have had actual details of that as to these were our problems. Instead, I'm seeing a picture where you are just jumping into revolving and cross-cutting and cross-cutting, but your cross-cutting measures are not making sense as to what the problem actually is, that you just start off with cross-cutting. Then the other question that I have is on slides. Page 10. In a way, it was going to be similar to the question that Comrade Sotua asked you in terms of vision and mission statement, vis-a-vis the fact that is social development allocation not part of making sure that it continues? Is it not part of ensuring that there's a continuation rather than just cutting? And looking at the amount that's cut, that it's difficult to actually determine how did you come to that figure, because we also don't have the actual round figure of what your costing are. Then, page 12, your areas of visitation. To me, it would have made better sense if you could get the actual outcomes of those meetings that you were having there, to indicate to us what were the problems that were there and how did you resolve those problems, or what processes did you put in place to resolve these particular problems and how far you are presently in getting those problems resolved. And then, Chairperson, just one little question. Your Board of Trustees, who's your financial manager? And if possible, wouldn't you have an actual breakdown of the whole budget, the complete, your complete budget processes? Because the way this presentation has come, it's in stickies and brockies. You don't understand if there is a problem or if there isn't a problem. You don't understand if you have a staff establishment out of this whole process. You seem to be working more on your problem than what you are saying the function of the benefit of the trust is. So unless you can get a picture from perhaps your chief financial officer or your financial manager, whatever title you give him or her, breaking down, give us the actual breakdown as to this is the overall amount and this is how this amount is being broken down, and this is where we are at the present moment. This is just giving a picture as if there were problems initially and you are just solely working on the problems and you've forgotten your actual function. Or according to you, what you are saying is a vision and mission statement here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hololu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me also thank the NFDF, NFDT for the presentation. Thank you very much. To say, Chair, over the past 16 years, it is really commendable that NFDT was playing a role in education, in the issuing out of bursaries, scholarships, also the contribution in the health, in the rollout of the HIV treatment. I don't know whether it was ARV treatment. And also in agriculture, I see that you were giving assistance to the farmers during the difficult times of drought. But, Chair, I think I'll request this NFDT to provide the committee with a clear financial report, because as it is now, it's just a report without financials, which I think it's... to me, it's not complete. It has to have that financial report element. That are dating back, the programs that are dating back from October 2010, as stipulated in page 3 of this report. Just check page 3 there. Interaction with Portfolio Committee on Mining and Related Outcomes. You mentioned that we are supposed to get some feedback and some report there. So that that is my request, Chair. Otherwise, the other questions my colleagues have covered me. I just need that financial report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moran.
Thank you, Chairperson. I first want to start, you can please note down my name is Eric Murray, the questions I'm going to ask you. Is it correct that since the 1st of April 2010 you don't receive any royalties anymore? Is that a yes or no? That's question number one. And the date is April 2010. I want that to be noted. You, on page 3, as you will remember, you visit us on October 2010. Informing us that was the case. I just mentioned that. So, that you indicated you don't receive any royalties anymore as from the 1st of April. But you were here in October. Is that correct? All right. I will come back to that point when you come to the further pages. In the case of Mr. Losper, I remember it quite well. He's now off as a trustee. I want that to be confirmed. And that Mr. Fester is in his place, and that is now, is there any claims out from Mr. Losper that he still be owed any fees, or is that case put to bed and that is addressed? So, and is there any letter from the Premier of the Northern Cape who is going to replace Mr. Fester? I want to know that. Then, remember correctly, I asked you this question last time, but I haven't got an answer on this yet, and I wanted to die, please. Are you still using financial firm in Cape Town to do your finances, and are you still using legal companies in Cape Town to be your advisor on legal matters? My question was in you October 2010, why don't you use a financial institution or attorney's firm or legal firm in your area itself, like Kimberley? Why must you use people in Cape Town? The cost for traveling and communication coming back and forward, there's cost involved. That's the next question. The following question to it, if I remember correctly, you have on your balance sheet a guest house in Monte Vista. I asked specifically last time, I want please a financial breakdown of the guest house in Monte Vista. It is more than a year later, I haven't received it yet. Because I said it's an asset in Cape Town. It seems the asset is being used for the people of the trustees just to stay in when they come and visit the legal and financial advisors. And that's why I requested, why don't you use people locally? Don't tell me there's not a legal or a financial institution that is not sufficient to do that duty in your own province. Why must you use another province to people? Then I come back to page 7. Next question, please note. Benchmark and compare with similar institutions, remuneration analysis. What's the finding in the connection with the trustees' fees? I questioned it last time. And as I remember correctly, it was like 3 years ago, the fee was around about 1,600. As on page 9, it is indicated now at the bottom, the reduction in the tender fees from 3,334 to take it back to 1,662 per day. Note the words per day. As only from 1st of January coming next year. Now I want to go back to page 8. Look at the bottom. It needs to be noted that the NDFC did not waste any time in implementing cost-saving measures. I'm telling you it's not true. If that was the case, you would have, as I noted to you in October 2010, immediately start with the reduction of trustees' fees. And still, you're paying the excessive fees of 3,334 and only make a decision to reduce that in January come. Why didn't you reduce it January 2011, if that's the case? Now, only a year later, still, you're paying the fees of 3,334. Why do you reduce then the transport allowance as indicated on page 9 as from the 1st of August, but the trustees' fees still is paying at a high rate? I also requested the following information, and I want it please today. Give me a breakdown of the following, and I want a clear picture of what I want to understand now.
if a trustee meeting is being held, each trustee sitting there is being paid now 334 rand for that day. If a trustee's meeting is going on a second day, you're paying that trustee's fees another 3,000. It's 2 days, then it's like 6,668 rand if it's over 2 days. How many trustee meetings is there per month? I want that answer, please. I want the answer on what remuneration is there for the various committees, because the trustees has been broken down to a financial committee, another three or four committees. What is the cost paid to trustees serving on these various committees as well? Because I asked this, and I want to know as well as from the CEO, is this income disclosed to the receiver of Renewal as the various trustees receive, yes or no? And then, sir, if it's to the heart of this trustee committee, because before I become a member of parliament, I served on three trusts, big trusts in the Western Cape, and we decided to take any form of remuneration. But, okay, there's expenses, because expenses we paid in the sense of travelling. And I must still answer the following question. The Premier of the Northern Cape appointed two people to the trust. They are employees as being paid as civil servants of the Northern Cape. Do they receive trustees' fees when the trust is sitting? The answer was given last time to me that they got a letter that appointed that they can take a day's leave, and then they actually can take this trustees' sitting fees. I'm sorry. If you represent the province, you've been actually nominated by the Premier to sit on the trust looking after the interest of the province. You've been paid as an employee of the province. Then those two people can't be paid trustees' fees. And I didn't accept that answer of the lady last time. That she said then a day's leave, and in case of that, then she asked, can get the day's trustees' sitting fee. That is not on. Because if you take a day's leave, in what capacity is you then there? In your private capacity, you're not anymore representing the Premier of the Week at Northern Cape anymore. So I want clarity on that issue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Would you care to respond to those for now, and we will come back again? Okay. So you can take the first one off.
Wat ons bedoel, nie, as ons sê ons berei die dokumentasie voor, dan bedoel ons nie, ons gebruik ons auditeure om het eerste audit of om het te clean of om te cover of wat. Dit is nie wat ons bedoel nie. Wat ons fisies bedoel is, ons bedoel net, saam met die forensiese onderzoek, beteken het dat die forensiese span moet fisies afkom, reis Springbok toe. Dan moet hulle vraag vir die jaar se finansiële state, die jaar se finansiële state, die trust deed. Hulle moet vraag vir minutes van meetings. Dat wat hulle moet, dat wat hulle vraag en wat hulle soek. Nou ons...
Continue, sir.
So, dan moet hulle moet kom spring ook, hulle moet dit kom doen en so. So it's fine, dit is hulle job. Maar dit kos.
Okay, gaan we aan.
So dit kos dan meer, en dit is dit vat dan langer om die ondersoek te doen en te voltooi. En dis hoekom ons gebruik ons mense wat ons betaal. Wat ons al betaal is vir financiële boekjare, so gebruik ons mense wat ons betaal om die finansiële adviseurs wat die miskien die beleggings sertifikate en hy inligting moet kry. So hulle moet dit net vir ons kry en hulle moet dit voorhou aan die forensiese team wat dan daarvan af beginne en investigate. So ons investigate nie, ons prepare ook nie die investigation nie, ons maak ook niks clean voor dit investigate nie. Ons het dan self sê dat ons hier, dit is die versoek van hierdie komitee en ons probeer in ons vermoë voldoen in daardie versoek. So ons gee, dit is die proses wat ons gevolg het, en dit is die proses wat ons doen, en ons wag die outcome van die proses en van die forensiese onderzoek saam met die komitee. So, van die boordse kant, dan wil ons geloofwaardigheid in die proses gee. Want dit was een versoek en een opdracht van hierdie komitee, en dit is precisely wat ons doen, en ons verwag het by einde Augustus. Maar dit is nie, as dit aan een betekenis het, dan is ons jammer, maar dit is nie wat ons bedoel met. So ons sê, ons laat ons mense gebruik om net die dokumentatie en die goede saas in een plek te kry, want vir ons gaan het oor die koste aspek van so'n onderzoek. So dit wat ons bedoel. Ons bedoel nie ons audit self, of ons maak clean, of wat so even.
Is dit nie so nie, dat, okay. Yeah, this thing is now on. You put it on what? Are you warming up or what? Oh, it's blowing. Maybe put it off. Put it off, yeah. Thank you very much. Die vraag wat ek het is dat is dit nie so nie dat al hierdie informatie is in jou kantoor as die trust? Hoekom moet julle nou specifiek hierdie mense gebruik om hierdie informatie by mekaar te kry? Want hierdie informatie bevoort om in die kantoor te wees, omdat as die forensic mense kom, dan hulle kan het recht kry. Maar tweedens, hoe weet julle wat sal hierdie die forensic team, wat is soort informatie gaan hulle soek? Hoekom prepare hulle hierdie informatie voor hulle staan, voor kan hulle vir hulle vaar die type van informatie wat hulle wil hê? Dit is hoekom ons kry nie vir hulle. Dit is moeilik om vir ons te verstaan die procedure wat gaan hulle volg. Kan jy dit verduidelik vir ons? In jou kantoor, in jou administratie, het hulle nie hierdie informatie nie, het hulle informatie in verband met jou finances, informatie in verband met al hierdie goede wat hulle hier genoem het.
Ja, dit is in die kantoor, dit is in die oorspronkelijke formaat. Dit is die eerste wat ons bedoel het met so'n forensiese onderzoek. En ons wil, soos ek weer een sê, wat even gehaak word aan die proces of wat. Ons belief en ons wil graag een geloofwaardige proces aan die gang sit, gebaseer op hierdie komiteese versoek. En ons wil het van die begin tot aan die einde, wil ons die geloofwaardigheid in die proces, wil ons hulle moet hand in hand loop. So die ons wil nie graag self, ons wil nie, ons staf self moet soort van voorbereiding doen aan die goed en betrokken raak in die goed nie. Want het gaan vir ons oor die geloofwaardigheid. En soos ek sê, is ons die eerste kennismaking met so'n proces. En ons het ons legal adviseurs vraag, hoe werk so'n proces? Oké, jylle moet advertise vir die mense en wat, en dan moet jylle terms of reference saamstel en wat. Sekere van die terms of reference was geguide dier hierdie komitee aan ons, as een woord van die trust. En dit is precisely van die geguide terms of reference, wat ons binnen die pakket gesit het. Sê, oké, dis hoe die ding lyk, dis hoe hy moet wees, dis hoe hy moet geskiet, dis die mense wat hy moet doen, dit is die kostes daaraan. So, die kostes is vir ons ietwat te hoog, so skryf ons verskillende opsies, soos ek voorheen verduidelik het, ons die derde opsie wat vir ons bekostigbaar is, en dit is die proces wat volg. So jylle kry vir ons die dokumentatie, ons sit nie ons hande daarin nie, alle dokumentatie is by die kantore, en jylle voorsien het aan die forensiese mens. Ons kry net by die 31ste Augustus, kry ons die forensiese outcome of die forensiese verslag wat vir ons sê, in die boekjaar het jylle verkeerd gegaan, daar het jylle verkeerd gegaan, daar het jylle verkeerd gegaan, jylle te veel trustees, jylle reis en sitting is te veel, daarop moet jylle sny, trustees moet verminder, of dis wat jylle moet in plek bring, staf moet verminder, en sekere regulatoriese aspekte en goed wat jylle moet implementeer en op besluit te neem. En dit is wat die bord in afwachting is, om aan uitvoering te gee. Maar hier tussenin die proces, wil ons nie graag betrokken wees en by die proces omvat nie, want dit is vir ons baie belangrik, die geloofwaardigheid. So dit is wat ons kan op antwoord. Iets anders kan ons nie, dan is het ver verwijder van die waarheid af, of dit is die waarheid, maar dit is wat ons kan antwoord, en dit is wat ons goed gedink het, om die proces in gang te laat gaan, sonder enige involvement van ons kant.
Laat ons talk hier, anders te sê wat sê jy maar sê vir wanneer, maar
right, we thought if the forensic investigators had to come to Springbok and collect the papers, and that would take longer and it would incur additional costs, and that's why we instructed our employees or the people who work for us, these financial advisors and legal advisors, to just compile the documents to get them all together. They are in our offices. We do have the documentation there. And for us, it's all a matter of credibility. It's the first time we've had such a forensic investigation, and we were just trying to comply with the instructions also from this committee to have a trustworthy and credible process in place. And it's not a matter of our auditors trying to clean up the information before it's being presented to the investigators. That is not at all the point. In the terms of reference to the investigators, we were guided by the committee, and then we had these three options of instituting this process. The first two were a bit high, and the third one, which we opted for, is the cheapest, and that process should be completed by 31st of August. Then we should be presented with a forensic report, and then it would be pointed out to us if, for instance, there are too many, or if the forensic investigators feel there are too many trustees or they have too many meetings and so on, and then we can adapt processes accordingly.
Honorable Sonde, Honorable Marais, Honorable Bila.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think on this one, you know, there is what they say. What do you do when you don't know? That question means if you don't know what is in the offing, you do nothing. Because you did not know what the forensic audit was going to require, or did you? Why did you have to prepare in advance for something you did not know? Now, what you are telling us here is that before the forensic process took on, you had to doctor documents. That is the implication of your response. You had to prepare documents. You had to look at what they were going to do,
and you had to, perhaps they were going to say you have got too many trustees. What is the trustee, the deed of trustee? Is it not a guide for how many trustees should you have? When you don't know what the person who is coming to investigate is going to want, you leave it as it is. Now, that is why this question, why did you want first to temper the process? If you talk about a length of period that this process was going to take, why do you know what you don't know? Because you were lengthening the process instead of having appointed a forensic auditor. You had to take on the internal auditors to look at documents that might be wanted by the forensic auditor. You see? Don't you think that raises question marks? Let me clean before they come, so that when they come, the house is clean. Let me stop it, just a question. Okay, Honorable Mare.
On the same subject,
let's it's a follow-up question. Yeah. And I love to know, because we're talking about option 1, 2, and 3. Option 1 and 2 has been mentioned like 1.1 and just over under 1. What is, I haven't heard, option 3, what is the price connected to option 3? I want to know that. And for clarity purposes, because I think there could be a misunderstanding with it, and I'll clear up on all of that. The forensic auditor, is he locally from Northern Cape area, or is he sitting in Cape Town? Now he's requesting some documents to send off in, or is he coming to the premises there on site and doing the audit there? Just for clarity, because that maybe help us with in the sense of preparing documents. Because if somebody sits here and they request certain documents and the audit is doing here and the office is here in Cape Town, then they have to prepare documents if they ask for the year 2007, all the financial statements for that year, and that's the case then. So I get another type of picture. But what I don't know is the audit be done on premises, and what is the price tag for option 3?
You will hold, these are follow-up questions, Honorable Bigani and Honorable Luca.
Sorry, it's, Mr. Chairman, please forgive me. It's not a follow-up question. It's just that I'm at sea. I'm not sure what is really happening. It's my fault. I wasn't at the previous meeting. It is entirely my fault. But I have a bit of a concern. If there is an investigation, what are we doing now? If there is an investigation in process, why are we asking the question? And the second thing, royalties. Royalties don't belong to our portfolio. Royalties go to finance. So I'm just, that is what my concern is. I'm honestly completely confused.
Let's help you out of the confusion. The whole interaction with the trust fund, it's not the first one, as they've given you all those. Now, we call them in so that we get the update of how far they are with what they themselves have decided upon after the engagement with us. Having been to Northern Cape and picked up, you know, what we picked up in terms of the communities that they are supposed to be serving. Now, the first purpose is for them to appraise us of the progress made. The second purpose is to deal with the matter of the royalties. But the issue of the royalties is dependent on whether the processes that we have agreed upon are unfolding. For instance, if you read their document, they keep on coming back to the issue of royalties having stopped. They stopped because Petroleum Resources and Development Royalties Act has kicked in. And that meant that the companies that were paying royalties to them have stopped, and that money is now going to National Treasury. But the request from them was that they need an intervention, because once that dries up, it means the collapse of this trust fund. Our condition to intervening was based on whether they clean up their house, because we picked up quite a number of misdemeanors. One of them is the one they are trying to correct. That's why you hear now they talking of options in terms of the forensic audit. They took a resolution in their board that they will undertake forensic auditing, which we welcome. But now it's the method, the methodology to get there. That's what worries us now. You know, that you do it internally. Will that serve any purpose? Because we can't go elsewhere to go and plead their case, either with National Treasury or with DMR looking at alternatives in ensuring that they do receive continuous funding so that they continue doing the good work that they're doing in Northern Cape. So that's why you might be a bit confused. Members who have interacted with them up until the last time, they follow it very, very well, because the issue is we can't go and seek help for them if we are not happy with how they are handling their funds, the funds that they've got. Because what we've seen there is that once there is this trust fund, people in those areas mentioned are attracting abject poverty. And the question arose, what happens to these funds? Hence you hear Honorable Murray talking about investments here in Cape Town of some, is it bed and breakfast, is it holiday, guest house and all of that. So you can't go and seek more funding from government. Meanwhile, you are not happy in how the current funding is, the current funds are being handled. There's a new question now that has arisen, which they must still answer. Did they offer a loan to this company? Was it a donation? What was it? So that when we finally take a position that indeed we're going to intervene on their behalf in ensuring that one way or the other they continue to receive funding, even if it's not royalties, but some form of funding that will sustain them, we must do that on the basis of clarity. I hope that manages to clear the air for you.
The great help. But the point is, when royalties are paid, it's not paid to run a business. The royalties go to the community. And the royalty is not mineral resources. Because when the bill was passed, we couldn't proceed, because we had to go to finance. Finance country, that's a financial issue. So that's why I'm trying to tread slowly and trying to investigate. But now there's a bit of light. I don't know whether it's a trade, but there's something coming towards me.
No, full company. You'll get it up as we move. You are going to find us in the process, trying to clarify these matters. Honourable Bizani.
No, Chair, I think I've been partly covered, but I think perhaps also to make it easier for the presenters, for us to come more to the point, because I think we're dilly-dallying and moving in circles. Perhaps it would be fit to then put our questions into an umbrella for them to basically give us more details into the total amount of the fund that is there, the breakdown of that funding, and most of all, in terms of the exact problems that were put to you by the committee to deal with, how far are you with those problems? How far are you with those issues? Perhaps if you put it that way, then more answers could come out, because the way that the presentation itself has been put, it's very abstract. It's a lot of issues that you're supposed to be running on your own there. We want the answers out of what you've outlined here as your strategic plan, most probably, of what you've been doing since we left. But if you could just get straight answers in relation to that, perhaps then it will answer us. And to those questions, also then add what the chairperson has just indicated in terms of the Monte Vista and the so-called people that you funded. It's straightforward questions. If you could just get straight answers to that. I don't know, Chair, if it makes it easier.
Please respond.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'll try and speak English as far as possible, but where the British language is going to leave me, I'll speak Afrikaans. First and foremost, thank you for the opportunity again. I don't think there's any darkness in the decision we took. There's no intention of the board to hide anything in terms of the forensic. It was just the three options that was put forward to us by the legal advisors, and we took this one that was the cheapest. And it was on that basis that we took it. If we were wrong and took a wrong decision, we will accept that also. The other thing is, Mr. Fisher was appointed by the master as the CEO, indicated in her presentation, but sadly passed away in May after the election. We have written a letter to the premier, but since now she haven't indicated who will be the next person who will be replace Mr. Fisher. The rumor that is taking around, we have given money to a mining company. No, what we did, and maybe I should ask, start with her question at first. The committee in October gave us three things. One was the committee did an oversight visit in the northern part of Namakwaland, especially in Kubu Sandrof, Alexander Bay, Wonderclaw Bay. And there, some of the community members complained that first, we are not visible in the communities as a trust and as trustees. Secondly, that we are mismanaging the funds of the trust. And based on that, we agreed with the committee on the and then the issue of Mr. Fisher, of Mr. Losper. And we have, that was the issues that was raised by the community in that oversight visit that they had. So we agreed with the committee on three things, that we will appoint Mr. Fisher in the place of Mr. Losper. There were issues around the trust. The trust is saying to us, you must be mad, you must resign, or all trustees around the table must sign if you want to get rid of a trustee. That's some of the difficulties we had. But we managed to convince the board, and we have appointed Mr. Fisher. That was the first thing. The second thing was, we had took a resolution that we will have a forensic investigation, so we can put aside or arrest this notion or rumor that we are corrupt and all those kind of things, because it's a common thing in the Namakwa region around that. So and that was this option that we took. And the other one was the cost saving measures, especially in terms of the remuneration of trustees. And our expenses and all those kind of things. So that was in a nutshell the task that we had from the committee. So the rumor, the trust, I think it was in 2008, somewhere like that, they established a company that called the NDFT Properties. And basically, the driving force for the establishment of the company was to ensure the Fort Bastan fundi trust. That was the driving force there. So the trust cannot make business. We can't go into business. So they had to establish this company, the property, and they had its own directors and all those kind of things. So the property company is dealing with the issue of the Namakwaland mines in conjunction with Transax. So there's no funds from the trust, and the administration can give a full report to this committee on the finance, how much finances we have, and all those kinds of things. There will be no problem of that. But the property company is dealing with their transaction, not the board itself. Sorry. No, we went in a venture of a Transax to bid for the Namakwaland mines that were sold by the peers. That was the issue of the rumors that was the honorable member asked. But I'm just giving clarity on who's dealing with the transaction. It's the property side of the trust. The other thing is we only LDP is our auditors.
I think the rumor says the trust fund borrowed to transact an amount of money to buy piece of mining land, I don't know. You are saying it's the company that made that transaction, the property company.
Yeah, they are handling their transaction, but we did not borrow money to transact.
Just for the sake of information, how did the transaction go?
Okay, I think the chairperson of that company can give that answer. I just want to go through the others. LDP is not our legal advisor. LDP is our auditor. ENS is the legal advisor, and Sterling are our financial manager. They're all based still in Cape Town. We took a resolution that we said we were going to advertise for personal advisors, and we have said that we will look and for people in the Northern Cape, because I know that was one of the issues the committee raised with us on the last. We can give a full report on the visitations to all the beneficiary towns. We have a full report on that. We can provide it to the committee if need be. The other thing, the Honorable Murray asked Mr. Losper has claims or something like that. Now, there's no claims. He's out. He's not in the trust anymore. The issue on the... I think this is the thing. I don't know if the administration can help us with the other issues.
Okay, thanks. Van ons kant af net, en ek weet nie of meer duidelikheid of verstaan of wat nie, maar toe ons nie meer kan die hieme ontvang nie, toe beteken dit ons, die trust het nie meer inkomste om die visie en die missie van die trust te laat voortleef. So as daar nie meer inkomste is nie, dan beteken dit die trust sal op die stadium dan een leeftijd van 3 jaar gehad het. Aankondings vir 3 jaar, dit wat ons goed en suksesvol gedoen het, die afgelopen 15 jaar, kon ons daar nie meer gedoen het in die gemeenskappe nie. En dan het ons dalk nie vandag hier gesit voor die komitee nie. Maar omdat die nood en die armoede, hy gaan nie weg as die royalties wegval nie. Hy bly daar en hy continue en hy raak meer en hy raak groter vir ons wat visies daar op die grond is en wat het ervaar en die aansoeken van die mense kry. So ons het te sien, dan moet ons iets doen om die gap wat daardoor die royalties wegval gelos is, moet ons vul. Want soos ek sê, die behoefte en die armoede raak nie weg nie. Hy raak meer en hy raak groter. En daar is geen royalties meer nie. Geen royalty income meer nie. So wat staan ons te doen om inkomste te kry? So om die inkomste te kry, het ons gaan sien, dan moet ons in meer agressiever beleggings gaan doen. Wat inkomste kan genereer. Nie met die royalties nie, want daar is nie meer royalties nie. En een was Mr. Marese Greenway 5. As dit op die stadium a bad business decision was, so be it. Maar op die stadium was dit vir ons een van die beste uitwegte om inkomste te genereer. Soos by die vorige verskynings in die komitee verduidelik, hoekom in die Kaap, hoekom een gastehuis, dit was, en niks anders nie, dit was die redes, hoekom een gastehuis en hoekom in die Kaap. Ons het gesien dat dit sal nie genoeg wees nie. En soos die voorzitter verduidelik het, die trust, according die trust deed, ons het ek denk by die eerste verskyning aan die portfolio komitee lede provide om deur te gaan en te lees en probeer te verstaan. So according die trust, die kan die trust nie direk besigheid doen nie. Ons is nie bemagtig daartoe nie. En dus hoekom die trust die dan laat ons 'n besigheidsarm geskep het om dit te doen, om additionele inkomste te genereer. So toe kom ons met die toekomstige geleentheid, omdat ons het nie meer royalties nie, die inkomste wat ons het deur middel van beleggings raak minder en minder. Ek meen, dit is 'n eenvoudige prinsipel in die lewe dat as jy net gebruik, dan raak jy op en jy raak minder en daar kom niks in en om aan te vul nie. En so toe het ons gesien dat omdat daar 'n geleentheid ontstaan om die Namakoland-myne van De Beers te bekom, het ons met Transhex, by Transhex ons genader en ons het in gesprekke getree en sê, hoe kan ons die leemte wat gelaat is deur die royalties wat wegval, hoe kan ons dit aanvul? En omdat dit in Namakoland gebaseer is, en omdat die toemaak van die De Beers operaties meer mense werkloos gelaat het, en die druk verhelp meer op die trust. I mean, en dis brood en botter issues wat ons ervaar, wat daar plaaslik op die grond is en tussen die mense. Laat het meer druk op die trust verhelp vir die mense wat werkloos gelaat het, die rijmijne se toemaak. So hoekom nie saam met hulle in die proces ingaan om werk weer te create, om vir die trusse inkom te verkeer, om dan die druk verder te verlig. Hoe ons dit gedoen het, is, ons het dit nie gedoen van die inkomste van die trus wat daar is nie. Ons het gaan kyk en ons, omdat ons as BEE, Black Economic Empowerment Vennoot, same Transhex in die proces wil gaan, ons gaan kyk, is daar nie instanties of ventures. No, it's fine. Maybe the honorable member is tired of what's this, but we are here for... Nee, ek het gedink dis nodig dat daar verstaan is, because it leek me dat ek nie verstaan nie, want ons kan nie net aanvaar dat dit oor sekere issues is, maar in elk geval, so, ons het gaan kyk, is daar nie instanties of wat ons kan befonds, omdat ons een BE is, of een BE vernoot wil raak in die transaksie nie. So, dit wat ons gaan doen het, verskillende instanties om te raak, kan hulle vir ons geld gee, omdat ons BE is, so, gaan kyk by instanties waar ons van die geld kan leen om die transaksie moontlik te maak. Maar die proces is nog in een proces en ek denk dat die Noord-Kaapse regering was ingelig daarmee. Hulle het personally aan trustees van die raad het hulle goedkeuring gegee en hulle stempel daarop gesit, want hulle verstaan die proces. So die Noord-Kaapse provinsiale regering is bewus daarvan, hulle het hulle stempel vir approval daarop gesit, dat ons kan continue met die proces, want het gaan oor inkom. So die proces, is nog in die gang, so dat nog nie geld hande verruil, of wat nie, ons het nie geld aan Transhex gegeen, en meen Transhex is meer groter financieel sterker as die trust self, so ons het nie geld in hulle gegeen, om mineral rights of land te bekom of wat so even nie. En daar geen geld hande verwijden nog nie. En soos ek sê, ons is in een onderhandelingsproces met hulle om te kyk hoe kan ons die trusse lewe voer. En whatever die gevoel of wat so even my is, ons reason is om vir die trusse voer te staan, te verseker, as daar royalties terugkom, dan gaan die trust nie meer bezigheid doen nie, want dan is het nie meer nodig nie, want daar is royalties. Maar nou eindelijk is geen royalties nie. So wat staan ons te doen, as om dit te doen, om inkomste te verkeer. So dit is ter persoon, en gaan die rumors oor die mining transactions.
think the problem solved that is that as inference they like unmut here that the come causes. Separons the ready on a handling some transacts as the held and different. Dit word dit hoef jy dat dit is nog nie gebetaal is nie. Sal dit gebetaal word in die toekoms? En hoeveel sal dit wees? Want hierdie Roma sê dat hulle het either die steek gekoop in hierdie transaksie of hulle die geld geleen na transaks toe. So, verdedelijk vir ons met precies woorde om te sê, wat is die situasie? Omdat ons kan sê vir u, volgens die, your trust, your deed, as dit reg is of as dit verkeerd is. Volgens wat dit is, is vir ons gegeet. Maar ek geef ons duidelijk aanbod daarvoor.
Oké. Thanks, honorable. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. The company that was established, I think three years is dealing with the transaction. Yes, the transaction, we will have 5% stake in the transaction. It will cost us around about 15 million rand, but the money is not yet been paid to I don't know, transaction whoever is dealing with the transaction. Thank you very much, sir.
I like that because it clarifies this thing. I like it. Can you translate the remainder of this? 15, 1, 5, eh? They are buying 5% at a cost of 15 million. Okay, can you translate the rest?
Yeah, to deal with the rumor about us handing money to Transex, that was occasioned by the fact that the Beers stopped, closed down its mining operations in the Northern Cape, and this in turn, and they stopped the royalties were discontinued, and so the income of the trust dried up because royalties were no longer forthcoming. But because those mines were being closed down, there was even greater pressure on the trust because the level of unemployment and poverty and need rose. So in order to generate income for the trust, we considered funding a company because the trust itself, according to its deed, is not allowed to directly become involved in business transactions. So we funded this company about 2 years ago, and the idea was that they would, together with Transex, acquire those De Beers mines which De Beers was no longer operating. And we thought then we could involve those very people who had been retrenched by De Beers. And they were approached, and the Northern Cape government approved this venture. No money has as yet changed hands. The agreement is that we will acquire, or the trust, for the trust, the company will acquire for the trust a 5% stake at 15 million rand. I believe that's all I think now.
Okay, honourable members, let's grab tea. Just 10 minutes and do the body break. Come back and then look at what are the outstanding areas that are not clarified and let them clarify those. You still have a list of those issues, eh? Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. From otherwise, this thing will say. There we go. Thank you.
Please answer the remaining questions and then see if there are any further questions for clarity.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I have a few. The board is setting every second month, and it's the amount is in the presentation that we are receiving. We also have a committee that is also setting every second month, and they are getting the same amount, and they are all registered with SARS. The issue on the third option is 250,000 rand. I think the CEO can answer the issue on the Monte Vista gas house balance sheet. The third option.
Sorry, sir. Is that now the amount charged by whom?
By the these people who's going to do the investigation. Yes.
Well, who are they? If you may ask. Are you saying to us, your advisors will appoint the forensic team.
Yes.
Not you appointing the forensic team.
We have approved it.
On the board of the quotations, had. Yeah, and the board of the last quotation approved.
Is
it KPMG or?
Is
it KPMG? KPMG. It's approved one.
Continue. No. Are you done?
Yeah.
With your list. Any follow-up questions, honorable members, honorable Mare?
Thank you, sir. Now, I just want to get clarity, because I want to have a clear picture, okay, when you're leaving it, then I understand it from my side correctly. How many trustees you've got now? 15 trustees. Okay, 1-5. And you're paying them every second month amount of 3,334. I did ask a question, but that wasn't answered. Is that is per day? Is this trustee sitting in one day every second month, or does it extend over 2 or 3 days? Because it's 2 days, then it's multiply that amount. I want to know that. And then they did answer and say the trustees sit on subcommittees as well that also sit every second month. And he just said that they receive the same form of revenue. Now let's take an example. I'm sitting on a trust as Mr. A. So I've received now in January month 3,344. I'm sitting on the financial committee that sits in February. So I receive also 3,345 for that day, if it's a day. But if I sit on the social and labor, for example, committee that's also sitting that month, do I also get another 3,334? That's the clarity I want to hear.
Die raadsvergadering strek oor 2 dae, so dit is korrek as u sê dit is 3335.2 en elke trustee dien op 2 komitees en vir hierdie komitee besitting word ook R3,335 uitbetaal. Eendag.
Do you mind the dialogue?
Yeah.
She says, at the 15-8, so dan nog, van diezelfde 15, een extra dag.
Ja, die
so van die committee leden, krijg ingang voor 3 dagen. Die 3,334.
Ja. Die raad sit elke 2de maand en die komitees sit ook, ja, alle komitees het die vergadering voor die raadsvergadering. So, hulle sit...
So, it's basically 3, not 12 days. It would then be 3 days.
Nou, clarity was, dit is van 2 committees. So, they receive 1 month, 6,665 for 2 committees, and the next month, they sit as the trustee for 2 days, is also equal to 665. So they earn like 665 per month for 12 months. That's what it comes to. Short and sweet.
Yep.
Multiply 15 trustees. Is that the sum correctly? So what if the trustees fee then in total that you've got on your income and expenditure statement for the 15 trustees per year?
Die vorige auditeerde staat het beraam op 3 miljoen vir die boekjaar in termen van reis, sitting en verblijf van kostes van trustees. So dis reis, sitting en verblijf kostes van trustees. Die kan wat die double 3 wat is voorbelasting, nabelasting is het 2500, dat is die sitting, na belasting. die 3000 en iets is voor belasting.
The amount of 3,335 rand is before tax, and the last audited statements put the cost, the annual cost for these 15 trustees at 3 million rand for the sittings, for the travel allowances, and the accommodation.
Follow-up, Chair. I think I asked the question, what is the amount of the trust? How much is debt in the trust? Around figure.
Okay. The bestaan is contant en bates. Die contant in tussen die beleggings en in die bankrekening is in die omgewing van 70 miljoen. En die bates bestaan uit 58 miljoen. Met andere woorde, bates in geboue en so nie roerende infrastructuur, 58 miljoen, so 58 plus 70, 128, so, dit is eigenlijk wat op die presse boeken is, termen van contant en in waters.
The assets of the trust are 70 million in cash, in accounts, or in bank accounts and investments and so on, and then in fixed assets, infrastructure, and so forth, it's 58 million rand. About the value of that.
Okay. Are we done? Yes, yes.
Are they done with answering, Chief? Mm-hmm. With answering a question?
I think they have exhausted the list.
They have exhausted the list.
Yeah.
Then, Chair, it takes me back to the question I asked earlier about their vision and mission statement, and about them, sorry, Chief.
What's he looking, Honorable Maria? You're shaking your head. Your questions not all answered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you remind them which questions are those?
Right. Introduction of cost-saving measures, first bullet point, the NDFT did not waste any time in implementing this cost saving. Then I refer you then to the page, next page, page 9, to implementing the cost saving on the transport allowance at from the 1st of August 2011. That was now as in nearly yesterday. Why didn't you reduce in the attendance fees immediately as well? Why didn't you reduce attendance fees? Because you were here in October 2010, knowing already that the royalties stopped in April that same year, 2010. Why didn't you stop the high fees of trustees act from the beginning of this financial year, the 1st of January 2011? Why did you only take a decision to stop with the high fees from January 2012? Because you did say in your mission statement, improve the quality of life of inhabitants. So if you draw higher fees as trustees, it is not to the benefit of the community that they draw such high fees. And 3 million as fee for trustees and transport, I'm telling you, it is ridiculous high. Ridiculous high.
Yes, answer that, please.
Okay. Van die op bladzij 8, die eerste point wat ons van verwijs het om did not waste any time in implementing cost saving. Daar ander aspecten, uitgave aspecten ook involved, besides trustees reizenzittingen en reizenzittingen. Eén was dat ons van voertuig ontslaan raakt. Twee was dat ons service providers engage om hulle contracten op te skort, om die service fees te bespaar. Drie was dat ons gaan kyk het na uitgaves op maintenance, brandstof en administratieve uitgaves. Ons neem kennis van die achtbare lid en ons sal dit aan die raad so
gaan deelgeer dat ons dit, die attendance fees, dat ons dit bij die volgende raadsvergadering een besluit daarop krijg om dit te reduce instead of 1 January 2012.
Oh, the cost-cutting measures we did implement were, we decided to get rid of vehicles, we cancelled agreements or contracts with service providers to save those fees, and then other savings related to expenditure on maintenance and fuel. And we take notes of your reservations about these attendance fees, and we'll take that message back to the board so that we can reduce them prior to the intended date of 1st of January 2012.
Yes, did you find your question?
Yes. The question was, Chair, based on their own vision and mission statement that they gave, where they even say the overall purpose of existence of the NDFT has always been to improve the quality of life of inhabitants and so on. Then you take what the responsibilities have been, where you are stating that the NFDF has over the past 16 years added substantial value across the spectrum of individuals in those forms that you've indicated there. But for some reason or the other, when it comes to the budgetary revision, you decide to cut on an amount that is stated on page 10 on the elimination of social development allocation and savings on management fund. How do you come to that figure? How do you decide upon that figure based on what you've just given us on the overall that is existing? How do you decide that this is the figure that you need to focus on, which is more important in terms of the cuts that you're making, or you're supposed to be cost-saving cuts?
Die raad het gaan kyk na die budget, daar was verskillende voorstelle gemaak oor die, die verskillende afdelings op die budget en die sosiale fooi soos wat het op die budget verskyn, gaan oor financiële ondersteuning aan plaaslike feeste en kultuuraktiwiteite en dan het ons gaan kyk in die bestuurfonds word gewoonlik aangewend vir welsyn doeleindes, hulp met begrafnisse, gesinsondersteunings en so. En ons het gaan kyk, kan dit nie wegval en dan moet dit deur die totale welsynfooi hanteer word nie. Dis hoe ons by 110.000 en die 70.000 se eliminasie uitgekom het.
The funds we mentioned here for the social development allocation, that was usually donated to local festivals and cultural activities and so on. So we cut that. And then the management fund, those 73,000 there, those usually went for funerals and family support or next of kin support, that kind of thing. And we decided to include that on the general welfare budget and to scrap it as a separate post here, or to reduce it here.
You didn't hear.
I heard Chairperson, but it doesn't make sense. Would it be possible then, Chair, to request, it might not necessarily be now, but as part of our concluding remarks when we do approve this report, can we get at least a period of a year's breakdown? Once again, if the CEO was there, I think that would have been possible. Breakdown on the 12 projects or 12 groupings or individuals of funds that have been now supposed to be given for these various projects that are on page 2 on the second slide. Can we get a breakdown of that in amounts so that one can determine as to what is the actual expenditure of this NFDT trust? At the end of the day, it gives me the impression that they are not prioritizing correctly. And I'm saying this, Chair, because I'm still to hear in terms of their very vision and mission statement that they gave, when exactly does it become evident that they are servicing these people more than complain about royalties that are not coming in anymore? Beyond that, and looking at the figure of amount that is there, obviously with that amount, it's a must for an audit company to exist and to audit their books, I should think, on a yearly basis. But now the question is it happening? And the audit issue now all of a sudden appears as though it was a need just because there was a query from the committee. And I do think, Chair, there should be another occasion where the actual, I should think it's the CFO of this trust, comes and gives us an actual breakdown, a true breakdown of how the funds are actually spent and what the needs really are of this trust. Something is not convincing still.
Thank you very much. I think the reason why we raise so many questions is because the presentation itself does not take us to the real issues that the trust is involved in. For an example, you are interviewing the staff. In fact, I'm not privy. I don't know. I might be wrong. Other members might have seen it. To your organogram, if say for instance you have staff members, you have also members that make these subcommittees that are preparing for meetings of the trust itself, of the trustees. Now, I don't know whether we're talking about how many people in the trust. Now, you are conducting interviews with the staff. For what purpose? Nobody knows. Before you answer, I've got a couple. I'm saying when you read the presentation, it just leaves you with questions more than giving you answers. Also, on your slide 8, bullet point number 2 says, whilst you understand that you need to embark on cost-cutting measures, you are awaiting a written report from your professional advisors about recommended changes and optional plans for the implementation of your resolution. Now, it begs the question, are you being told by your professional advisors what resolutions should you implement, or are you implementing plans according to the resolutions of the trustees? Because to me, it should work the other way around. Advice you might get, but on the basis of the resolutions that were taken by the court. Now, if you would clarify me on that one. The other one is on the vendors that you are, termination of vendor agreements. There are those vendors on whom you summarily took decisions were cutting on this one. But others, where do I see this now? This is page 9, and if you go to page 11, you are saying there are some vendors that you have terminated service level agreements with, and others were not. One would try to get to know which vendors do you consider to be critical for the trust, those on whom you have not terminated this service level agreement? And which of those did you just decide to terminate their last name, their service level agreement? Coming back to the question I love, I want to say, but I can't put it. You know, you have vehicles. I hope this time around vehicles are not going to translate into buses. You've got vehicles. You remember that time when you said buses and vehicles in the Northern Cape are the same. You've got vehicles that you are saying they are underutilized. Why are they being underutilized? What happened to them? Why do you say they are being underutilized? I mean, when you buy vehicles, whether it's a pool of vehicles, you buy them for a certain purpose. And here you are now finding yourself with a stock of vehicles that you need to dispose of because they are being underutilized. Which vehicles are those and why are they being underutilized? Chairperson, that is a lot.
Did I follow up, Honorable Mare, Honorable Hololu?
Thank you, Chair. This is only for advice and comparing to other institutions, like, I can put it on record here. I was part of a board of a financial institution, a bank group in the Western Cape, that we had reporting back as the trustees receive now. We said only one day. We started half past 7 and we ended at 6 o'clock. We're not talking about 128 million, we talk about billions in the Western Cape. We covered operations, staff, investments, everything in one day. They should professionalize themselves, and the board was only sitting once a quarter, every 3 months. So I put it to the CEO and I put it to the chair. They should professionalize. There's no way that they can report back of a trustees meeting over 2 days, earning 128 million. That's not on.
Honorable Khulul.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm still not clear with the question that I asked earlier on about the financial report that can be provided, actually, so that at least one could have a picture of what's happening within the trust. So that I did not hear any response in my question. If maybe it could be provided next time. Not maybe now, maybe after. Thank you very much.
Can you respond to those that have
been raised? The infinite service providers, vendors, is the financiële beleggingsadviseurs wat ons die kontrakte sal opskort in die asset managers en die technische service provider. Dit is drie grootstes en een van die auditeurs sal bly, want ons word elke jaar geaudit. En wat sal bly is maar die gewone plaaslike mense waar ons daar die mense ster waar jy die koffer kan kry vir hulle, waar jy die kospakkie kan kry, waar jy die kimbies kan kry vir die siekes, dat is klein service providers van hulle is SMMEs en soos meer so wat op ons databasis is. Hulle sal bly, maar ons praat van die grootes wat ons 2 miljoen rand kos. Hulle contracte wat ons gaan opskort en om die koste te bespaar. Die ene van die karre is 3 voertuie, was voertuig wat aangeskaf is vir die werksamhede van die trust in die tyd as ek in Nissan Qashqai en No, 2008 one, that one. Oh, nee, ons kan only compete met die Honorable Marie nie, maar hy was in 2008 ene gewees. En, en twee BMW's, X3's gewees, dat is 4x4, omdat ons net grondpaie het. Ons gebiede is net by grondpaie en so. Nie X-Face nie, net 2X3. Nou. En maybe is iemand anders gewees. Maar ja, so dit was die drie voertuie en ons het te sien dat ons kan, die staf kan stap van die kantoor af post office toe of van die kantoor af bank toe ons sal net minder moet travel trust die tyd dat ons met die communities at least een keer in 'n boekjaar in die terugvoering gaan gee oor die werksamhede, so dit beteken net een keer se ry, so ons kos ons save dan op maintenance en tires en petrol en so dit was die voertuig en dis hoekom ons hulle ander utilize gemerk het en van hulle ontslaag geraak het. Heidiglik ons het net twee voertuie in 2009 Toyota Corolla en 2010 Fortuner, Toyota Fortuner 4x4, so laat ons nog die grondpaie ook kan ry.
Okay, on the contacts with the service providers or vendors, also called vendors on the report, the financial, those were the financial investment advisors and the asset managers and the technical service provider. So those were the three big ones. And the contracts we still maintain are the local SMMEs. For instance, for coffins, kimbies and things like that, in cases of death and sickness and so on. But we will cancel the ones with the big companies, which are the expensive ones. Then we had three vehicles, the one a Nissan Qashqai 2008 and two BMWs X3s. And we need 4x4 vehicles because all the roads in our area are gravel roads. Now, meanwhile, we decided that the staff can walk to the bank and to the post office. But we still need one 4x4 in order to be able to report back to the beneficiary communities at least once per year. So the vehicles now in our possession are a 2009 Toyota Corolla and the 2010 Toyota Fortuner, which is a 4x4 for those community visits.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I think let's round off these discussions. Firstly, by thanking you, NDFT, for responding to our request for you to come here. Your counterparts in the area are engaged with us on legal grounds. In Amakwa Development Trust, who are subpoenaing them. At any given point in time, they would be forced to appear before us. If not, then they will find themselves in trouble with the law, and particularly the constitution of the country. So we are working on that. Now, the first issue that we need to note is that from the matters that were outstanding between ourselves and you, your report indeed, firstly on forensic audit, you say we have appointed KPMG to then do the actual forensic auditing, and that you are awaiting the response, the findings. Is it in October or is it in August 2011? October. August. This month. So you are awaiting that in this month, after which then you will indicate to us if you are ready to share with us that report, because that will form the basis for us to take a final position on matters pertaining to you. We don't want to be busy with you through and through. We've got other national responsibilities that we must take care of. Two is that, depending on that report, we would then organize a meeting with the office of the DG in DMR, with yourselves, with Transex, where you're receiving royalties only from Transex. Let me say this to you openly. We hear and understand the transaction that your investment arm is busy with Transex. We are not going to interfere with that. I think you have clarified the fact that you are purchasing a stake or from Transex in this new venture, but we still need to address the 5% royalty that you are receiving from Transex. How do we address that is another matter. That's what is going to be discussed in this meeting. Do we go to National Treasury and ask them to ring fence those funds back to you, because they are for the good of the community? If we don't go that route, is National Treasury prepared to make, for instance, a once-off contribution as a seed capital to you as the trust fund, so that you can then, out of investing wisely, I must say, whatever that you shall have been given, if there's that agreement, it can then sustain you and can bring you more income? Or we'll go back to Transex. Is it only Transex or were there other companies that were contributing royalties to you?
We once received royalties from the Una mine, but they don't exist anymore.
Okay. There would then be those engagements with Transex to see. There are examples across the country of what had happened. I'm just giving this as an indication. It will be discussed in that meeting and we see what is the best route to take. For instance, if we take the Royal Bafokeng, they used to receive royalties 26% from a mining company. And that, through the engagement, negotiations and agreement, was converted into an equity within the company. And as things stand now, that company continues to pay royalty to government, but then that community is now participating in that company. They are successful. They have established a company of their own, which is now, it was the last I knew, it was about to be listed at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange as a result of those engagements. So as I'm saying that, we're not going to interfere in your current arrangement with Transex, but when we're in that meeting, we'll have to address what replaces the 5% royalty that you are receiving from Transex, and how do we deal with that situation if all else fails in terms of National Treasury and other government bodies. The other matter is that your deed, your trust deed, if not changed, there are certain things that it expressly prohibits you from doing. For instance, it is quite direct when it comes to the manner of your investments. clear that you cannot acquire a property for rental income purposes. Quite clear. It's also black and white. I think, I don't know what section is this in your trust deed. If you read 15.4, it tells you that the trust may not purchase any property with the aim of earning any rental income from it. These are some of the things that you must pay attention to when you deal with your investments, which means even it obliges you that for any funds that are available for investment, that must be done on the basis of Act No. 39 of 1984 and the Stock Exchange Control Act No. 1 of 1985. So these are laws that expressly, including also the PMFA, the Public Finance Management, Act, that you need to, for your investment to be prudent, you need to always check what do they say. Because as a trust, you are not operating in the same way as a public company listed and registered in terms of the Companies Act. So there's a difference. Because yours, you are not a profit-making organization, but you are allowed a surplus. You are allowed to also invest, but in a particular way. I'm just flagging this to you that whilst you are busy with all these other investigations, please check your origins in terms of your trust deed. Because if you continue doing things in conflict with the trust deed, then indeed you might find yourselves in trouble. I don't know what the forensic audit is going to find. They're going to look at all of those things as well, in terms of what is it that you are allowed to. Let me say this, that in as far as the processes that you have given us are concerned, you are indeed indicating that you are serious about the engagement with us. You are implementing the agreements that we have reached with you, and it's just the modalities, the methods that would differ from what we had expected. Hence, you find out that it takes a long time before we are able to be clear on a particular issue because of those different methods. I must say this to honorable members, that here you are dealing with trustees that must be treated in the same manner and way that you would treat the executive directors of companies, because they are running this trust. About what now? It's sitting now at what, 228 million rand. They are responsible for the vast area in terms of the services that they must render in Namaqualand. Now, they don't have a dedicated team. They can't afford to employ the whole structure of the executive directors that would be on daily basis sitting in offices and running. So I'm saying, therefore, once we look at how much are these directors' fees and so forth, let's also be mindful of that. For instance, also compare that with boards of advisory boards. For instance, ministerial advisory boards. They do have attendance fees in the main meetings. They do have functionary fees in terms of the subcommittees that are run. I was serving in the DMR ministerial advisory board, structured in a similar way, and you would go to public enterprises, a similar situation. So I'm sure they are structured in that manner so as to avoid the situation where they employ a full team of executive directors. So I'm saying, let's, yes, raise alarm bells when it comes to exorbitant fees, but let's be reasonable as well, that they are doing the work that is almost done by the executive directors of different corporations, who are sitting on daily basis and receive what is referred to as directors' emoluments. I think when we deal with these matters, we need to then look and make the necessary comparison. And in fact, you have seen yourselves in terms of their expenditures, that they are actually running a local government entity in Northern Cape. At one stage, you complained yourself when you have seen in what they are spending their money on. It's actually rendering the services that local government was supposed to be rendering. That's why in our last meeting, we engaged the Premier and asked, and the MECs, and asked, why is this trust fund so overburdened? It's not the only trust fund. There's another trust fund that is funded by Kumba. That trust fund is quite healthy and quite, rich. But its responsibility is not measured and not even closer to what this trust fund is doing. I mean, some of you would be hearing this for the first time, but we had them when we were in Northern Cape. All they're doing, the government will just request them occasionally. Please do this, and then they do it. Otherwise, their own interest is basically narrowed into a particular group of people. So I'm saying there's also that level of inequality when it comes to the responsibilities of this trust fund and those other trust funds that do exist. It's in no way condoning wrongdoing, but I'm saying let's be mindful of what responsibilities is this group in charge with compared to others that are there, and the fact that at least we are enjoying working relationship with them, because when we call them, they do come, they give us information, they do things that we ask them to do. And therefore, it was just a caution on our side that whilst we will raise alarm bells, but we must also look at the work that is being undertaken by the trust fund. Now, I think with those words, we thank you very much, and we want you to keep up the kind of relationship you have with us, so that from time to time we are able to interact with yourselves and take heed of some of the warnings that we are giving you, that please look at this, please look at that, and that. But the main issue we are going to address with you, once we see what comes out of your forensic audit, we have already sensitized the department. For instance, we spoke to the former Director General, who was very keen to meet you immediately. But then we said, no, let's hold on until we know what is going on into NDFT, and then arrange a proper meeting after the forensic report so that we can then take a joint decision of how can we ensure that there's a steady income or there's a bulk income that comes to you in which you will be expected to then build on it in as far as, your sustainability is concerned. But of course, with your investment, some of the investments, depending on your forensic audit, you may be asked to change them, especially if they are not bringing income streams into the fund, and secondly, if they are not within the field that is envisaged by your trustees. Because your guidance is here. This is your constitution that we are dealing with. With those few words, we want to thank you very much. Namakwa is far, very far. For you to agree to come from time to time, it's important to us that you have established this working relationship. And we will go extra mile to assist you. We still make that commitment, and we will follow it up. August is now, and once your report is ready, once you are ready to come and share it with us, we will then immediately take actions that will ensure that you get assisted. I don't know why you're crying, madam. You didn't think that we know the truth. We're telling the honest truth, so we won't hide it because we have fried you. We did put you on a frying pan, but at the same time, we understand exactly the challenges that you are faced with. So be rest assured, we'll look after your interests. Thank you very much. Honorable members, then... yes,
thank you.
And... Honorable members, we have our last function to deal. Thank you very much to the interpreter. Thanks a lot. At least you minimize our